You might like to open your Bible, if you would, to the book of Romans and chapter 11. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in prayer. And our God and Father, we bow head and heart in your presence. Spirit of God, thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. In this series of conditions in the light of March, our country and the world, we have spent our time trying to come to grips with an understanding afresh and anew of the world in which we live. The God of this world, the prince of the power of the air, the devil himself is in charge. Of all nations, not ours and everyone. He's in charge. And we live in a world that is full of what? Since he's in charge, and since the world system has no room, no place for God, no place for good, that leaves us with evil. Evil. Evil is the absence of God when God's missing. What's it like when God's missing? And if you don't grab that, think of hell, the lake of fire. What is it like when God's missing? It's like hell. It's like hell. Well, I don't see it yet. I don't see hell. If you die, you will. You will. So you don't have to wait too long. If we are to pass on in the next 100 years. Now, in the light of that, evil, darkness, we're in the middle of it. Evil is in the middle of us. Darkness is in the middle of every human being. Adam and Eve sinned, we did all of those things. So we see it. So, and we call evil good and good evil, therefore our whole, for centuries we've been doing it. For many, many centuries. And we just do it. So when it comes to evil, we call it good. And when we see God and good, we call it evil in our darkness. And we do it. And we're quite comfortable. But when things like this happen, it causes us to be disturbed a little bit, to be having to consider everything. And therefore, what do? Since we're in this setting that's become a little more real, a little more obvious, what do? Well, we go to God, and God said, listen, I'll give you an example. And David, my servant, went and he walked in the valley of the shadow of deep darkness and death. And he walked in it. And he delivered him, and it was in the presence of evil, just like we live, only he lived before us. Now, how did David make it? God said, that's why I've given it to you. I was with him. I was with him. That's why he made it. Now, therefore, in Romans, just refresh our minds, as we have been in God's word. And so I just remind you, when you come to the end of Romans chapter 11, we've had 3 chapters on Israel and why it isn't active at the moment. Verse 36, and of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. God is the source of everything. Everything is going to happen and outwork itself because of him. And when it's all done, he's going to be the end of it. He's the objective. And without turning there, just to add, I'm just adding pieces that for you to keep in mind, if you would, keep in mind in the light of all of that, that in 1 Corinthians 15, etc., 28 and all that, God, the Lord Jesus Christ, had an awesome assignment to bring everything back into order that was out of order. Now, what's he going to do at the end when everything's done? He's going to turn around in his perfect humanity to the Father and give it. Say, everything is in order. And God will say, fine, 1 Corinthians 15. Why? That God might be all in all, for all. But God might be God. Now with that little bit, over, if you would, to Romans. We're in Romans. Revelation. And in Revelations, if you would, chapter 4. Thank you. And in Revelation chapter 4, remember we're talking about the church is there, been raptured. Chapters 4 and 5 tell us about God's wonderful throne, etc. So when we come to chapter 4 and verse 11, we did all these things a bit ago. Verse 11. For thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. Why? For thou hast created, the reason, for thou hast created all things. And for, little word for, because, on account of, why did you create anything? On account of what? On account of, in verse 11, thy pleasure. But it isn't pleasure. That little word is will. W-I-L-L. I am, I will, I ought. Each human being is designed to say that. I am, I will, I ought. All of us. We can all say it because that's God. God has created us in his image and likeness. God's will, God's volition, God's choosing, deciding to make it happen, his will. So I'm going to read it now because it's important to where we're going. For thy pleasure, for thy will, all things are created. For thy will, they are and were created. That word created, in the beginning, God created out of nothing. God created. Why did God do it? For his will. So all that God does, he chooses to do in his most awesome and wonderful way. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, then God's will, God's wonderful will to be outworked, and God's resting in his will, God's determined to make it happen, as we shared together. And God is sovereign. What's sovereign mean? He's the Lord of lords and King of kings. He's the boss. Is there anyone over him? No, he's the only God and the only Savior. So he's sovereign. He rules over all. He reigns over all. His rule is righteous. He's the right ruler for the right things, for the right reasons. He's God. Now, God, having said that a little bit, everything as God does is his will. Now we'll go over to either Luke or Matthew. We'll go to Matthew. Matthew chapter 6. And in Matthew chapter 6, may I pick up the thought. Thank you. And may I go in the middle of, remember God, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, are talking about God's rule and reign. In other words, if the Jews say, right then, as they were, if they turn around and receive him as their king, he would be their king in a wonderful way. But here's all the things you have to understand. If he doesn't go to the cross and he becomes your king, then you have to understand Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the world's going to be different. You guys are all going to be doing different and acting different. So when I come to verse 9, after this manner, After this manner, therefore, I pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. And it will take ye, not the kingdom, it won't happen in the kingdom. It'll happen in a new heavens and a new earth. My will there will be here in a new earth. What's your plan, God? I'm going to make my rule. Everything I do is to outwork my will. My will for my glory, my honor, my grace, and all of it. And I'm going to make my will happen down here. Where is his will? Ah. The world system doesn't want it. The devil doesn't want it. The nations don't want it. The rulers don't want it. The system doesn't want it. Doesn't want his rule. Doesn't want his will. Now hang on to that. Now God, since he doesn't want his will, and Israel was to show that, but they failed to do so. Now, in order to get the next piece, over to John chapter 4. In the Gospel of John in chapter 4, picking up if I can. Now remember now, we're looking. You want to know what God says, then you ought to know what he says in his word. He's given you his word to know what he says and thinks. And that's why we're looking at it. We can have a whole lot of talk and words. They're just words, a lot of talk. But what's a herald? Preach the word in season, out of season. What is that? It's a herald, you know all that. A herald takes the king's command, takes his sheet, here's my tissue, takes his sheet and runs to the town, stands in front of all the people that are gathered together and reads the sheet and tacks it up in the door and goes away. What are we doing? We're heralding the word of God. I'm trying to tell you what he says. You got it? You got it. So there's no question, did the king say something? Is he telling us something? Absolutely, if we listen. Now, so therefore, that little bit. Now, John chapter 4. God's doing what he's doing. It's going to be on earth, and it's intent to do on earth. But Israel failed to do that. But the Lord Jesus Christ demonstrated it. So chapter 4 and verse 4, 34. And Jesus saith unto them, remember they want to feed and lunch and everything, saith unto them, my meat, my food is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. So what's it doing? Our Lord Jesus Christ came to do the will of the Father. Everything God does is for his will, out of his will, out of his volition. Chapter 5. And chapter 5. And in verse 30, again, all I'm doing is giving little steps, stones to get across. Verse 30. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just. Why? Because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which sent me. Whose will? My Father's will. I didn't come to... This is the perfect man and perfect God united to be our God and Savior. And he says, let me help you understand. God, only God there is outworking his will. And here I am to demonstrate God's wonderful will to be outworked. I do nothing of myself. It isn't about man. It's about man and made in the image of God to demonstrate God's wonderful person, to show his wonderful person. Now, having said that little bit, chapter 6. And just a little bit of it to see it. In chapter 6, picking up if I can, verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. won't be rejected. Verse 38, for I came down from heaven to do my, not, to do my own will, I didn't come to do that, but the will of him that sent me. And you can do that in verse 39 and verse 40. I came to do my Father's will. See, well, no, I came to do. I didn't come to represent perfect humanity. I came to show you what perfect humanity does. It represents God. That's supposed to. That's its purpose. Over, if you would please, to Matthew. And Matthew and 26, I think. And if I may, here's our Lord all the way going to the cross, etc. And picking up in thought, verse 39. Remember now, he's in the Garden of Gethsemane. And verse 39, then said he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup, the taking of our sin in his own body on the tree, let this cup pass from me, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. You do it. That isn't my will. I hate, I'm perfect, sinless Son of God. And to take all the sin of all everyone that's ever lived, including Adam and Eve, it's, oh, wow. It tore him apart. He even was so in that prayer, he had drops of blood fall from him. It was so traumatic to what he was going through. That's a lot when you start bleeding. Now, so therefore, go a little further. A sliding if I can, and over to verse 42. And he went away again after telling his disciples to wake up and I'll read verse 41 since we have our little word. Watch and pray, 41, and that you enter not into temptation, trial, test, proving. The spirit indeed is willing, you're willing, but the flesh is weak. Verse 42, he went away again and second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. Thy will be done. So, God, it's a whole wonderful transaction between God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, and God. God's doing what he's doing, and the world's doing what it's doing. But God's outworking his will. So everyone's buzzing around on planet Earth through history, and as if God wasn't in charge of history. But we've been looking at it. God is definitely in charge of history. God definitely is on top of everything. And we had to understand how and why that is true. So now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, over to Hebrews chapter 10. So God, you did all of that. And you went, born in Bethlehem, Judea, and died on Calvary's cross. Hebrews chapter 10, picking up if I may, what are we going to do? Well, we're going to remind ourselves, as God does, about what he did. So therefore, Hebrews 10 and verse 5. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering, thou wouldst, there's your little word, wouldst, will, wouldst not, but a body thou hast prepared me. If in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me, by the Old Testament, to what? To do thy will. O God, that's why I came. Verse 8, above when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offering and offering for sins, thou wouldst will, there's your little word will again, wouldst not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come in the interim to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. The law of Moses is put aside and the wonderful work, God's work on Calvary Cross, takes its place. All those sacrifices that they did only pointed to his sacrifice. Verse 10, by which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. God, you did that. That's right. Christ died in the cross. Verse 14. For by one offering he hath perfected, made complete, perfect, forever, them that are sanctified. Now how did you do that? He went to the cross and died and made all of that wonderfully, wonderfully possible. Now, having said that, God did that, and it's a whole reminder, not my will, but thine be done, he said, and he did it. He fulfilled God's wonderful will. So now, chapter 10, sliding over, if I can, over to verse 35. Here's the believing heart in the light of that context, in the light of God's giving himself, his will. Verse 35, cast not away therefore your confidence, boldness, which hath great recompense of reward, a great full reward, for reason, you have need of patience, bearing up under the load, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. But yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will come, and will not tarry. So God, the end of verse 36, you have to do the will of God. Well, what did the Lord Jesus do? He said, I came to do God's will. Now, what are we supposed to do? Where does that fit? Why would you say that? Now I got to go back and answer to myself. Why would he say that in verse 36? After we have done the will of God, we may receive. Well, we got to do the will of God. Well, what's the will of God? Ah. Now, over if you would. Remember, everything, Romans, Revelation, and 4:11, all things are created because of his will. There's nothing anywhere that isn't according to his will. He's the boss. And it isn't just happenstance about anything. Now, so God, the world system doesn't care. Evil, darkness, dumb things all over the place happening and rehappening and fear and control and conformity. That's the three things. One, two, three. Everyone, get people in fear. You can control them when they're in fear, so you can conform them to what you want. That's where we're at. Now, in the light of that, over to Colossians. And in Colossians, so here we are, God's will, and jumping right to us, since we're here, and we're the ones that are particularly being addressed. So here's Colossians, to the church, to the believers, and may I go directly in verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother. Well, Paul, why did you ever become? You were a Pharisee. You had a lot of money. You had very wealth. You were a Roman citizen to boot. A Pharisee, a Roman citizen to boot, and a lot of money. I mean, what did you have? I mean, you had everything. You betcha. You bet. But it wasn't all of that is dung. It's nothing, waste, compared to what God has done for us. So therefore, Paul, the will of God did that. Uh-huh, that's why. Hang on. Now, sliding down if I can. Oh, and by the way, I should say we don't, too many pieces. Don't forget, in Timothy 2 and 4, that God would have, it is God's will that all men be saved. Christ died on the cross to save all. It is his will. So you don't have to sit down and play limited atonement and all that stuff. Don't even bother. Just take it as it is. God died on the cross before we were ever created. We were all known to God, as you know. Christ died on the cross, And it is God's will to save every single human being made in his image and likeness. That's why we were able to be born physically. Hang on. So Colossians, what are you going to tell us as believers? Verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of what? Of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might be filled with all knowledge of his will. That's everything is for God's will. What do you want, God? I want you to know my will. I'm going to do my wonderful will in your life. Hang on. What is his will, Colossians? To be full knowledge of his will. Slide over to verse 27. Remember now, God's telling about the wonderful thing that we are, the church, his body. And it is said directly, verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Do you see in verse 27, in whom God would, that's the word will. In whom God would what? Make it known, Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's his will. It's his will. That's how Paul's going to get saved. Paul, you have to read it, Galatians 1 and all that. It was God's will. When I was a little baby, God wanted me to be saved. Wow. So God will, to be able to save. It is God's will to find his home in the believer's heart in the church age, Christ in you, the wonderful hope of glory. Wow. Isn't that good? That's what it's his will. It's his will to be saved. I didn't read a question. So you want to talk about God. It's God's will. We're in his presence. It's what he wants. He wants me to be saved. He wants us to be saved. Period. That's awesome. Hang on. Now, over to chapter 4. And in chapter 4, if I may, picking up, please. Oh, God, may I go over to verse 12. Ephorus 4:12. He is a native. Colossae is his home. Ephorus is in jail with Paul in Rome when this is written. And so Paul mentions Ephorus because he's right next to Paul over here in jail, as it were, and to the letter to the Colossians. And it says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So now, Ephorus, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you always, laboring fervently for you in prayers. What's the purpose? What are you doing, Ephorus? That you may stand perfect, complete, full. Perfect and complete, full in all the will of God. What's the purpose of us? To get you to be in the will of God, to perfect you. That's why it's hard. We don't like being in church, that kind of church. Why? Because it means you had to grow up. You got to change. Militaries, if you're back in military and that, and you have your way of life and you get in the military, and they tell you when to go to bed, when to get up, tell you how to make the bed, tell you what to eat. They do all this stuff. Wow. What are they doing? They're trying to train you to be a unit. That's what they're trying to do. So when we get saved, what are you doing, God? I'm trying to get you to be all that I have in mind. It is my will for your life. Wow. So therefore, here's the believing heart. What are we supposed to be doing? Prodding, promoting, pushing, being a pain in the neck to have you grow up. Not trying to please you. Why don't you tell me something I like? You know, I had someone say, they make me sick. Oh, well, get sick. You need to get saved, not get sick. Now, therefore, Therefore, in the light of that, over to John chapter 1, the Gospel of John in chapter 1. So, God, here we are, and it's all about us being in your will. So how am I supposed to enjoy God's wonderful will? Everything is created, God's for his glory and honor, and he is willing, outworking his will in a most wonderful way. So you know John chapter 1 and verse 12. About as many as received him, to them gave he the right, the power, the privilege to become the sons, children of God, even to them that believe in his name. And then it makes it clear. It's clear. It's not like your physical human birth. No, it's different. Which were born not of flesh, not of the flesh, human blood, race, no, nor of the will of the flesh, human will, we don't will to be born. You don't will to get saved. You aren't, because you're a human, that doesn't make you saved. Nor of the will of man, determination. We determined to do something, so therefore we can do it. No, we can't do it. Therefore, but of God. The only way John 1:12 works is God does it. As many as received him, to them gave he the right, the privilege to become children of God. God does that. It isn't because, it's because God died on the cross to save you. That's why God does it, period. That's why people get, of all that come to me, I will lose nothing. God isn't, humans are all over the place. We're awful. We already shared all of them. And God saves us to the uttermost. Wow. Now, having said that a little bit, so therefore God, it isn't anything, it's all of you. That's right. The whole thing. Spiritual birth requires you. It requires you. You're our creator physically. But we can't get to the purpose of being created physically until we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what happens when we believe? We do the believing, God does the saving. Wow. Now, so God's will is to be done. Now, keep in mind, in order to appreciate all these things, keep in mind, if you would, A, God's doing what he's doing, and a way that may help you see it, think of a very wonderful painter. The painter chooses the canvas. The painter chooses the paints. The painter chooses the picture. And he chooses how to paint the picture. God is the painter. It's his canvas. He created the universe. Trees, bugs, birds, God did it. Now God's in charge. He said, everything is mine. It's all my will from start to finish. So don't try to interfere. Just get a handle on it because it's real. Now I'm going to do another thing to help you. You and I are all in our physical bodies, and it's awesome to be in a physical body. It is. And having our bones. Well, tell me, if you didn't have any bones, tell me how you would stand up. That's not a trick question. How would you stand up with no bones? We'd be a big blob, right? We'd be little balls of gush rolling around. Well, now, tell me how you chew your food. It's without a jawbone. How would you chew your food? How would you do it? You can't. You got a jawbone. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. And there's no part from your top of your head to your toes. There's no part of you that isn't amazing. The very hand that you have, its formation and its ability. We shared it the other day, your fingerprints. If you didn't have them, you couldn't sense fingerprints. You're awesomely made. Your bones are for healing. The blood, red and white blood cells, flow from your bones. Wow. And what do you do with your heart? You bring in your heart, you bring in the oxygen. Did you ever think when they ration oxygen, when the world system says you can't have oxygen because we don't have enough, you see. So here we are. Wow. And the oxygen goes in, goes down to our lungs and get a little thing. And the blood goes down and picks up the oxygen and goes to every part of your body and all over the place. And to your bones and everything, and goes all over, and then it takes away the waste, and the carbon dioxide brings it back out and gets rid of it. And I suggest that's why you wear masks, so you can't breathe out the carbon dioxide, because you pollute the air. I mean, you have to have reasons for everything. So now, here we are going, and we have all of that. One drop of blood, all these things, One drop of blood. One little drop of blood has 5 million, I don't know how they ever did it, 5 million red blood cells in it. One drop of your blood, 5 million red blood cells. The awesomeness of your whole body from stem to stern, you are awesomely, awesomely made, every part of you. Are you amazed about your body? Most of us don't even understand unless you study medicine or something. We don't understand about body. Which one of you isn't fearfully made? Awesomely made. And if you really want to think about it, who do you think could design such a body on planet Earth? Who could even consider the opening in the blood cell, opening, closing, the speed, and trillions of cells dying. And they're dumping them all, making new ones, dumping them away. That's you and me. We're awesomely made. Who made us? God. It was His will to make us like we are. And if God's will is to make us like we are, what on earth is His will like to be like Him? He saves us not to have this body, to have His body. No. And we sit here and we fudge and fool, not you guys, girls. We fool, yes, I know. No, sir, man, we're in darkness and evil, and no good. No God, no good, and therefore, here we are, evolutionary products, etc. Communism, socialism, all of it. So now, God, having said that little bit, so God, we are fearfully and awesomely made in God's wonderful sovereignty to do what He does in a most wonderful way. Now, so having said that, keeping that in mind, if you would, in God's wonderful grace. Go with me, to pick up the thought. Over to, Ephesians. I was trying to give you the steps, so you can't miss it. What are we, Lord Jesus, what is God? God's demonstrating His will in the believing heart. So as we go to work, school, home, coming, going, we're demonstrating His will. Who's the boss? My boss is outworking His life. Not my life, and not the government's life, and not some dumb rule life. He's working out His life. And that's what I'm supposed to do. And I am awesomely, everything, you can't look at anything, but you get overwhelmed if you really want to see it objectively and not subjectively. So God, here we are, Ephesians, may I get there myself. Ephesians chapter 1. And you'll pick it up, if I can, Ephesians 1:5. And may I pick up a little word just to get the flavor of it quickly. God's wonderful will. 1:5. Having predestinated to mark out ahead of time, us, for what reason? God, what did you want us to be? Unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. God wants us to be his children. He wants to be the Father for real, for right. He wants to be the Father, chosen us for the foundation of the world, predestined, citizens, adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. That's what God wants. God wants you to be his children. It's his will. Well, some people don't want children, don't even take care of them. But God wants children. He wants to take care of them. If I can, verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself. No, God, it's your will. That's right. That's Christ in you, the hope of glory. I want you to know that. I want you to know what it's about. It's about being saved in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And to enjoy being saved. Wow. And God, you weren't saved, over to chapter 2. And chapter 2, going directly to verse 2. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince, the ruler, the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, unbelieving, among whom also we all had our conversation, way of living in time past, the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires. Do you see the word desires? That's the word will. In other words, we willed. We willed what we did. We did what we wanted, how we wanted. We said what we wanted. We did what we wanted. We went where we did, and we lived like we did. It was our will. We chose what we do. Today, you'll choose what you want to eat. You'll choose how you want to eat. Well, you aren't going to be told, eat this, maybe. No, you're going to choose. You're going to choose. We're part of the system. We were saved. We were unsaved. Desire, the end of verse 3. Desire of the flesh and of the mind, and we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Sliding over to chapter 5. Chapter 5. If I can. In chapter 5 and in verse 14. And you will note, wherein he saith to the believing heart, awake, thou that sleepest, wake up. Don't be lax and lazy and indifferent. Wake up. Verse 14. Awake, then, that thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead. Without Christ, without that, you don't know life. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. You live in the darkness. We don't want to be in the darkness. We want to be children of the light. Verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. We want to walk by faith and not by sight. We want to walk. And we want to walk accurately, very carefully, most carefully, measured carefully. Verse 16. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. No, they aren't good. They never said they were good. He said in his day, evil and adulterous generation wants a sign. The only sign I'm going to give them is a sign of the prophet Jonah. I'm going to give them an empty tomb to look at. And I'm going to give them a bunch of whosoevers that I save to look at, to see if they want to understand and believe. I'm not going to honor their unbelief. And he isn't. Verse 16, because the days are evil. Verse 17, wherefore, be not unwise, but what are we supposed to do then? Understanding what the will of the Lord is. It's the will of God that's going to be outworked in your life. Then that's what you need to understand. The will of God has to be outworked in a most wonderful way. Now, God, how's that going to be? Now, how are we going to do that? Over to Romans 12. We're going to have to want God's will. We have to understand there is a will of God. There is a plan. We've said this how many times? Thousand times. God has a plan for your life, Ephesians 2:10, before you were ever created. And God wants to fulfill that plan. You weren't even created. There were no angels. God had a plan. We have our plans, that's the trouble, in the darkness and in the evil. But God said, listen, I save you. I have, I will, another plan for you. Everything I do is because of my will. I choose to do it. I make it happen. Wow. So God, what do you say? Well, I want you to outwork my will. Well, God, that's what you told me, to redeem the time, because the days are evil. I want you to know it. Therefore, Romans 12, verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Remember Hebrews 10? God's a body thou hast prepared for me. God gave a body to the Lord Jesus to show forth and to go to the cross and pay for our sins, so that he could take our earthly fleshly body and go and do a wonderful thing and save us. Present our bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed, formed, don't be fashioned. Don't try to copy the dumb world system. The world system's doing what it's doing and thinking what it's thinking, and you don't have to, you aren't a slave to that. You may be involved in some form, but you aren't a slave to it. And don't think that. Then you're going to get caught up in the fear. Fear is going to make for control. Control is going to make to conform. Pretty soon, I have to do this, and I have to do that. No, you don't. You may do it, but you don't have to do it. Now, so therefore, in the end of Romans 2, be not transformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind process, that you may be able to put to the test, what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What are you going to do? We're going to look to present my body a living sacrifice, and God's going to be able to do what he does in a most masterful and wonderful way, merciful way. And God's going to do that with my body. That's right. I'm going to change it. I'm going to change it. 1 John. Over in chapter 3. First epistle of John, chapter 3. Picking up, if I may. Our time is gone. Behold. Chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children, the sons, the children of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. No, they didn't. They rejected Christ, and they reject you as a new creature in Christ. You're the same old person. No, I'm not the same old person. God saved me, made me a new creature in Christ. Verse 2, beloved, now are we the sons, the children of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall see him. We shall be like him. We shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is impure. So God, what are we doing? We're looking for you to outwork your wonderful will as your children, and we're looking for that to happen. And so God, what are we waiting for? Waiting for it to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. That's right. And God, we are expecting it. So in the meantime, here we are on planet Earth, and God, they're all looking, and we're to exercise a wonderful relationship to you as your children. And the Father. Father says, empty the wastebasket. We empty the wastebasket. Father says, eat your spinach. We eat the spinach. God, we got your word to exercise your will in an awesome and outworking way. And we haven't even got that. I'll get it tonight a little bit. You have to understand. That will, God's will, is the will that created your body with all of its magnificence. That will is what God has in mind for your life. And you couldn't even imagine if we read it and drill it in with a drill to our little brains. We don't have enough time to grab what that means. God said, I'm waiting for you to be there. I want to show you what I did. I want to show you what I did for you. No, we don't believe. Then that's what it's going to be. What is it? That's why wood, hay, and stubble, gold, silver, and precious stones. He said, I told you what you'd be. I told you it's my will. My will is to be outworked in your life. How could you ask for more than that? Don't you go to bed and sleep? That's God's, and God is, do you change anything while you're sleeping? No. You're going to get out of bed? Maybe. Maybe you go to work, school, whatever you're going to do. Maybe. But God, you know, thy will. So what do you say? Without turning there in James, we'll have to close. Whatever, don't say, I will do thus and thus. Say, Lord willing, I will do thus and thus. You don't know you're going to do thus and thus. But God does. God does. And you're under and in as a saved person to be under the blessed position. The blessed position. I think of all the people, dear people, coming and going in our country and other parts of the world too. And they're coming and going. With what's happening with the virus and the changing governments and changing everything, switching, changing, never to be the same. Wow. Wow. And they don't know God. Now, where is their hope? We just read it. Let this hope be in you. Every man that has this hope. They don't have any hope of being changed and transformed in the twinkling of an eye. Try to live like that. I don't, it's hard for us, isn't it? It's hard, we're alive. It's hard to think unsaved. But we were unsaved once. In darkness, death, evil, hell. That's where we were going. And we had no, and people trying to struggle with all the maneuvers. And you're saved to enjoy the will of God. God, we're in your presence, God. Can you? I'll take care of it. Wow, I got to quit. I hope you got a little bit. We'll pick it off tonight. Pleasure. Wonderful pleasure. Our Father and God, we thank you. Thank you. And we just did a little bit to try to remind ourselves, God, as David walked in the valley of the shadow of death, you were with him. And God, we're in the valley of the shadow of death. And God, we have your wonderful will to be outworked in our life. God, it's an awesome thing. You got to help us with this because we're so far away from it comparatively. So God, you got to help us get there. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for caring. Thank you for what you're doing. God, give us an understanding of the majesty, the mercy, and the mightiness of your presence. Thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen.